Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, so the Men's Hockey World Cup gets underway next week in India. Ireland are a part of it for the first time since 1990, and I'm delighted to be joined by two of the team, Shane O'Donoghue and Alan Southern. How are we?
Yeah, very good.
Excited to be heading off?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been building up now for a while. Preparation has been pretty intense, and you know, you kind of want to get out in that get to the stadium, get a real sense, get a real feel of the atmosphere over there. Obviously, going over to India is a hockey crazy nation, you know, so you could have up to maybe 10,000-12,000 people at a big game. Right. So yeah, looking forward to kind of getting out there and soaking up the atmosphere.
What do you know about Bhubaneswar? Am I pronouncing that right?
Almost, yeah. I think it's Bhubaneswar.
Bhubaneswar,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get
so
there.
That's where the Hockey World Cup has been hosted. I presume recce's have been done and you sort of fully know what to expect?
Yeah, I mean, over the last few years, India have hosted more and more tournaments, and there's been tournaments held in the last couple of years in Bhubaneswar. So kind of hearing from other guys, from other nations who've played out there before, we have an idea of what to expect. But obviously you won't know yourself until you actually get out there and see it for yourself. But no, I think it's there's a pretty decent stadium in place out there from the India League, from when that was started up 4 or 5 years ago. And then hotel wise, I think we're pretty good. So yeah.
Have the women's team ruined it for you?
No,
you
not
no
at all.
Longer go over no expectations.
Yeah,
now
no pressure,
suddenly
yeah.
Everybody's watching. There's questions like, how far can you go?
Yeah, look, I think like it was a phenomenal achievement by the women. Mm. You know, and it's going to act as a source of inspiration to us. You know, even watching it, it was a truly incredible. You know, we were quite shocked at the same time, but you know, I think both teams are quite similar. You know, when we stick to our guns and if we perform the day, and we can be anybody who's thrown in front of us. So the expectation for us is definitely trying to do as well as we can in the group stages, get out of the group, obviously. And look, as we saw with the women's, you know, I mean, some big teams bowed out quite early in the tournament, so you know, anything can happen. And you know, I think our preparation has been good. You know, some wins, some draws, some losses, but I think we've learned a lot, especially with a new coach coming on board only 2 or 3 months ago. But yeah, there obviously is a bit of pressure on us, you know what I mean? But no, we go to every tournament now with the expectation of doing as well as we can and pushing for podium finishes.
Alan, have you spoken with them about what they learned from their couple of weeks in London and dealing with the pressure that builds when you start getting a couple of positive results and just being at a big tournament and being at a World Cup and how to handle the boredom in some ways and the excitement of actually being there? Have you come together at any stage?
No, like kind of I've heard a lot. You obviously they've done a lot in the media and stuff, and it's been great to see. But I think the biggest thing you can take from that is that they just went with it. They started well, they got a great result in their first game and they took it from there, you know. So for us, it's definitely going to be about getting out there, getting acclimatized as quick as we can, getting a couple of days training under our belt to play a practice game. I think 2 days before our first game, kind of getting used to the pitch, facilities, everything like that, and then fly into our first game against Australia next Friday.
Yeah, over the past 2-3 months then, since the Women's World Cup, have you noticed a change in people's attitudes to hockey, people's interest levels in hockey? Is that already sort of filtering down to the ground level?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the magnitude of the achievements, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they're the only kind of amateur team in the Women's World Cup, you know, and that made the achievement that bit more special. And, you know, I think it definitely raised a few eyebrows, you know, the women doing so well. And I suppose the fact that two kind of important games, obviously against India and obviously against Spain, went to the exciting penalty shootouts, you know, and to win in that manner kind of, you know, just makes it a bit more spectacular, really, you know. And yeah, I think the interest level has grown. You know, I think we saw that obviously with the reception they received on Dame Street coming back on the August bank holiday. It was completely green. You know, it was amazing to see, and you know, it was a fair tribute to the women and what they did. You know, but yeah, I think in order to kind of to get the awareness you want and to keep on getting the bit of coverage, you know, you have to, you know, continually do well in these big tournaments. So, you know, we'll be looking to do the exact same then we leave.
Yeah, have you faced a lot of the same issues that came up during the Women's World Cup in terms of resources ahead of this event, in terms of sponsorship issues and getting the level of investment so you can get enough collective training sessions together that you can have the best of everything that you can go and compete at the highest level?
Yeah, I mean, that's not a new issue for hockey in Ireland and for Hockey Ireland as an association, is that we've always struggled to get headline sponsors or sponsors. So
why is that? Because you look at it, it's traditionally it will be seen as a private school, quite Protestant sport, where there is lots of money. That you would think actually there'd be plenty of people out there with that background who would have come through who'd be more than willing to go and invest. Is it just that the playing numbers aren't there? That
I just think there's other sports in Ireland that have a bigger pull. The media coverage isn't massive for hockey. You go through the papers throughout the week, and maybe one day a week there's a bottom article in the paper. Mm. Companies look at that maybe and they say, well, what do we get from that? But now we see, obviously, with the women doing well and with us having qualified for Rio a couple of years ago as well, and it's starting to get a bit more speed and kind of get a bit more traction with outside, and people that wouldn't have much of a knowledge of hockey in the past now are starting to pick up on it and see a bit more. And you can see that with Sofco with the women, and now Turkish Airlines come on board with us. Hopefully we're going in the right direction.
We spent a lot of the time around the women's team talking about the achievement because, as well, they were the only amateur team there. And now in hindsight, it's easy to say, you look back and maybe that was one of the keys to their success, that most of their players are based in Ireland. They can come together quite often for collective training sessions, even with the lack of facilities. You're very much a more professional bunch. Most of the players, both of you, are off playing in Belgium and are around Europe. I guess that makes it, has its own problems then, in actually coming together as a team and spending enough time together so that you are fully prepped. Is that an issue?
I think it definitely has its pros and its cons. You know what I mean? I think the advantages obviously are you're playing in a professional league. You know, you can kind of live that lifestyle. You're training 3-4 times a week on the pitch, you know, not including your gym sessions. And you're in that kind of frame of mind, that mindset. As you said, you know, it's that kind of contact time together. You know, obviously the women were able to, sort of centralise as much as they possibly could, having most of their players based here in Ireland, you know. But, you know, I think we've been lucky enough, obviously, with the way things have panned out. We're getting the new coach, Alexander Cox, you know, being based in Holland. We did most of our training camps over there in Utrecht and in Papendal. So it worked out quite nicely. And I think the biggest thing is the gap between the professional leagues over there to international hockey isn't as big as it is probably from the Irish league to international hockey.
Yeah, how big a difference is it then from your sense of playing professional hockey? Like ordinarily with any sport, you would say it's a massive leap up from being an amateur to actually it being your full-time job, thinking about nothing else. Like, have you noticed that? Have you noticed that actually, as you say, when you get to a tournament like this, there shouldn't be that much of a difference? You're playing them week in, week out?
Yeah, I think, playing in the leagues over there, you notice it quite quickly. Just your average players just play at a different intensity and a different speed level than you would get back home here. And that just comes from even just time on the pitch, the amount of hockey they've probably played throughout the years, you know. So these guys are coming through a club Avon, they're playing at quite a high level already. And then, you know, the average, I would say the average game here, you know, you need to be playing kind of towards a finals weekend here to be getting to the same level as what you get week in, week out.
That's their average
there.
Game, yeah. 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 What age did you fully focus on hockey? Because I'd imagine over there, because there is a professional setup, when you are 13, 14, you can start thinking about that and you can start thinking, this is actually a route I want to go down. Whereas here in Ireland, there's not a fully professional setup. So I guess, like, were you playing other sports and then eventually when you get to a stage you're thinking about college, that's where it opens up into a more professional sense?
Yeah, I think as the majority of Irish young lads, you know, when they're growing up, you play a multitude of sports, and it does actually help you then when you decide to pick one sport, you're going to take different attributes and different characteristics that can stand to you. And, I think... kind of comes, I think, from an early age, and myself and Alan and most of the guys would have went with the hockey and would have, you know, represented, obviously, you know, Leinster teams, then gone on to kind of Irish underage level, and you kind of have a bit of a pathway there. And it's unfortunately the game isn't professional here. It isn't like it is in Belgium and Germany and the likes of Holland. So you know, if you want to live that kind of a lifestyle, then it does force you to kind of start thinking about it. Maybe when you're finishing school, do I go over then at 18, 17, 18 years of age, or do I wait and finish my bachelor? You know, which is what most of the guys tend to do, is finish the undergrad and then move on and spend a couple of years. Some guys, you know, spend, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, maybe, you know, set up camp over there and I can play for a little bit longer, you know.
Yeah, is it an enjoyable life?
It is, yeah. I mean, like, look, you ask anybody if they want to live and do what they love doing full time and to be able to earn somewhat of a living from it, it is. Getting to concentrate on your sport and put everything into it, I mean, it's not something you can do forever. You know, there's you have a finite period of time where you can push yourself to play at the highest level. So to be able to concentrate on it and live and experience a new culture and a new way of living as well, you know, which is also an addition to it. It's something that I think certainly kind of 10 years ago probably is when the first guys went over to Belgium and Holland. And
yeah, I think so, yeah.
Maybe a little bit longer, and there was maybe one or two kind of, and now there's a pathway where
there's
a lot of guys.
Yeah, now it feeds down, and that actually when you are 13, 14, you know that this opportunity might be there for you.
I mean, kids now coming through secondary school can look ahead and go, geez, you know, if I stay in the national setup here and I go the right way, that's an option I have if I want to do it. You know?
Yeah, it's hard to believe that it's the first time that Ireland have appeared in a World Cup since 1990. Like, you've been pretty much trailblazers, this team, qualifying for the Olympic Games in 2016 and now getting to a World Cup. I know your head coach, Alexander Cox, has spoken about targeting a quarterfinal place. When it is everybody in the squad's first World Cup, though, like, when you think about it now, what sort of result would leave you coming back home happy with what you've achieved?
You know, I think there's a tremendous amount of potential and talent in this team. You know, I think we look back on the Rio team, it was, you know, probably more on the experience side and maybe lacked, you know, a little bit of flair. You know, I think looking now at the players we have, you know, who've come in kind of, you know, between the age of 19 and 23, you know, some really, really promising talent. You know, so we have a nice balance now of experience and that bit of flair. So, yeah, look, I mean, as I said, we'll take each game as it comes. You know, and, you know, look, we're not going over there just to make up the numbers. You know, we have exceeded expectation probably from winning that bronze medal in the Euros in 2015 and then obviously qualifying for Rio. So, you know, we'll use the experience from the big tournament, obviously being the Olympics, and then try and bring it into this tournament now. So we'll definitely be looking to, you know, do as well as we can in the group stages, get to that crossover, or even better, go to the quarterfinals straight off. And, you know, and whoever we face, we're going to be very, very confident in performing well against them.
And even getting to this level means that you're not that far off everybody else there, because it's not like the Football European Championships where 24 teams get in and half them get there. Yeah. You scored the goal to qualify against New Zealand. So this is very much a world sport that if you manage to make the World Cup, you've already hit the elite, I guess, Alan.
Yeah, you have. I mean, it's I know this is the first World Cup now in history where we've gone up to 16 teams, but it's an exciting new format in terms of having the quarterfinal stage. So, you know, we've always pride ourselves on wanting to play above our ranking, and that's the exact same aim we have going into this tournament. You know, we'll take each game as it comes, but you know, there's no team out there that we're going out that we're afraid of. You know, we play against these players, like we said, most of us week in, week out in leagues across Europe. And we've played a lot of hockey against a lot of these nations over the last number of years, you know. And, you know, at times, you know, we have been on the end of some bad results, but we've also pushed a lot of these teams close and beaten a lot of them as well.
So is it just consistency is the problem? I've been able to do it, as is the case this time, you'll have, three games in just over a week, to be able to go and put back-to-back-to-back performances together?
Yeah, it's obviously an interesting one, having a couple of days in between each game. You know, we're quite used to maybe playing, you know, maybe 3 games in 4 days or 3 and 5. So, you know, I think it'll allow us then to kind of empty the tank, you know, every game. So it'll allow us also to kind of spend the time in between the games to kind of do a bit of homework, you know, maybe tweak a few things in terms of our game plan and, yeah, and just make sure we're really prepared going into every single game. And, yeah, just literally even everything out on the pitch, having a right crack at every opposition we play.
Are the Dutch the strong favourites?
Yeah, I think so. I think we experienced that in the last couple of games against them. It was some heavy defeats.
What was a 7-1? This was a pre-season tournament over in Valencia where you played Spain, England and Netherlands. And England are actually in your group for the World Cup, and most importantly got the win over England and maybe the big psychological advantage that comes with that. But you lose to Netherlands 7-1, and was the second one 5-2?
Yeah,
5-2, yeah.
But that one was quite tight until the end. So, like, again, if you have that confidence boost of knowing that you've gone quite close for a good length of the match. Like, that must give you a little bit of an extra spark heading over there.
Yeah, like, we actually only played them on Monday there, and we were, I think it was 2-1 with about 18 minutes to go, and then the last 18 minutes were a bit of a bit of a shit show, if you want to say it, you know. Yeah. But look, listen, I think.
Why? Is that their extra fitness, or just the levels of concentration to keep up with them? Eventually, there's, like any great team, just grind you down.
I mean, it's you look at the two games, say in Spain that we played against them, and the first game we're beaten 7-1, and hands down we're beaten by a much better team on that day, and we go out against them 2 days later and we were 2-0 up after 25 minutes. You know, so the game that hockey is, it's so quick, and goals go in quite quickly. Like we said on Monday, we were 2-1 with 18 minutes to go, and we come out on a 7-1 loss again. But I mean, what other sport do you have that kind of a, you know, that kind of a quick turn? But the Dutch are a fantastic side. You know, the league is arguably the strongest league out there, and they've a lot of guys in their prime at the moment. You know, that have played a lot of hockey. Have a lot of experience, gone to a lot of tournaments. They hosted the last World Cup and got to the final and took a silver medal out of that, you know. So, like, without a doubt, they'll be going over there really aiming to come home with the trophy. And from what we've seen in the last few weeks and what they've done, you know, they look on course for being able to do that. And, you know, it'll take someone to go out and stop them. And hopefully a bit of experience now in the last few weeks against them.
Plenty of preparation against them.
They're good stuff against
them. And they peak too early.
Yeah, exactly. So for people who are going to be tuning in next week, and for a lot of people it might be the first time watching the men's hockey team, what sort of style can we expect? When we look back in the Women's World Cup, like, defensively they were so strong. Aisha McFerrin in goals was outstanding. Like, Davy Hart is commonly seen, I think, as the best goalkeeper in world hockey. Is that the plan here as well, to just keep it as tight as possible and steal a win here and there?
Look, I think, you know, over the years and the success we've had in the last kind of 2 or 3 years anyway, we've had that kind of strong defence, and that deep defence has been really hard to break through, you know. And obviously having Dave in the goal gives you that bit of extra confidence, you know. But I think,
what makes a great hockey goalkeeper?
Being 6 foot whatever and being able to take up most of the goal.
Big.
Big. And yeah, listen, like, Davey's a fantastic athlete, and, you know, is deservedly won that award a few times, and look, you know, it's what we expect of him, you know. In every game, he's obviously our captain as well, so he has that extra role going into this World Cup. So
he's fit, is he?
He is fit. Yeah, he took a bit of a knock from one of our guys. You know, lucky enough, the guy with him doesn't hit the ball that hard, so we're all right. But no, listen, obviously that was a big scare there. Obviously, you know, the possibility of losing your the best goalkeeper in the world and also your captain, you know. So I think definitely under the new coach, Alexander Cox, he's not looked to change too much. We're kind of looking to play a bit more direct, you know, and actually just looking to instill as much belief in us to actually, you know, for us to back ourselves and as individuals and as a team to play the hockey we can play, while also making sure we keep the back door closed and, you know, making sure we continue to do what we've done well for the last number of years.
Yeah, and I guess being Dutch, maybe getting out of your heads that, like, you're not going into this as minnows. Like, even listening to Joe Schmidt last week talking about the New Zealand team, that you can get caught up in the aura of it, or you can break them down into little pieces and suddenly it's not as insurmountable as maybe you once thought. Is that part of this, of going there, looking at the Dutch resources, but actually thinking, as you say, well, we learned some things. We were able to go in front of these guys. They're not superhuman.
Yeah, I mean, Alex has really brought that into us. You know, he's come over, and while it's tough to lose a coach 4 or 5 months out from a World Cup like that, the way we did, it's almost a blessing in disguise that you have an outside set of eyes that came in and saw something different in us and saw something else that we can bring, you know. So there is, you know, like Shane alluded to, we will obviously still rely very heavily on a really strong defensive base, but we've got some really exciting players in the squad, you know, with a lot of speed. And we're looking to utilise that now when we go out to India.
So when you look at that group then, Australia first up, then China, then England, which is the one that, is it everything just focused on Australia straight away? Start, build momentum?
Yeah, definitely, as you said, momentum's huge. You know, so the first game...
Have you any sort of recent record against Australia?
I think we actually beat them in a preparation game, didn't we, last summer?
Yeah, we haven't played them a huge amount in tournaments, so we've played them... the quarterfinals of the Olympic qualifying tournament, actually, Rio, we lost 4-1 to them again in quite a tight game. But aside from that, just some practice games, and yeah, we've, you know, like us, they like a good scrap, you know. So it'll be a feisty enough game. You know, the opening game of a tournament always is. So you know, we've got nothing to lose. You know.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of pent up energy there. All right. And what about the China team?
Yeah, we haven't played them in recent times, but I think when we have played them, we've actually performed quite well and always ended up on the right side of the results. So and a couple of comprehensive wins there against them as well. So yeah, look, I think that's obviously the obvious one that you have to make sure, you know, you get a win in that game. And you know, I think starting off with Australia would be a nice test for us. You know, it won't be an easy one to settle into, you know, so it'll really require us to be on our game, you know, really from the first whistle of the World Cup, that we're on the right foot and we're, you know, we're concentrated and we're, you know, we're there to compete, you know. And then obviously going into the England game and the China game as well, it's, you know, it's they're all kind of must-win games, you know. It's, there's no way of putting it otherwise, you know what I mean? But yeah. I think, Australia are obviously back-to-back World Cup champions. You know, they come in with a lot of pedigree, a lot of experience. But look, as Alan said, like, just, you know, we've competed against them before in some tight games and, you know, quite similar styles of play. So
first game, maybe, again, they're thinking more long-term?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's, look, I imagine every team is kind of has a, you know, an eye on the crossover games, on the, yeah, the business end of the tournament, you know what I mean? But look, I think,
so it's a four-team group. Mm. The top team goes through automatically to the semi-finals, and then second play third across the groups, fourth, yeah, goes home.
Yeah. Top team goes straight to quarterfinals.
Great quarterfinals. Yeah,
second place third, and yeah.
Across that way.
Yeah.
So the aim, very much a place in the quarterfinals. Well, listen, very best of luck. I'm sure we're going to be keeping a very close eye on it over the coming weeks. The mustaches, I presume, are Movember.
They are, yeah.
Just a Romania 94 style, everyone bleached the hair, some sort of team bonding thing.
This is it, yeah. No, mine's Movember. Shane's, I don't know.
Just hipster, is it?
I've been trying for a long, long time, but yeah.
You've been raising money for charity, have you?
Yeah, we have. We've raised close to maybe €3,000 now in the first 3 weeks. So, yeah, many donations are obviously greatly appreciated, but no, it's obviously for a great cause. And yeah, no, it's also a bit of fun as well, seeing some of the lads trying to grow some facial hair.
Lads, very best of luck. Enjoy it above all else, and I will be keeping a very close eye. Very best of luck.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.